B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRIF.com. Wherever you're getting your podcast, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network. And as always, give it to me, Al.
Oh, rock929rocks.com in Boston.
Hey! Welcome to the show. That's Chuck Bean along with Al Beck. And this week we are rejoined by James. We missed you last week, James.
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, I saw you guys. You brought in three people.
That's right.
We had to fill
my one foul mouth.
Down one James, up three people. Yeah.
Three people to come in and replace all the stupid things I'm going to try to come up with and talk about.
We had to fill the room in order to fill the void.
And here's one of the things that you missed last week. Of course, Robbie was one of the people from Checkpoint XP who filled in for
you. He taught you how to use another computer.
Well, here's the thing.
You're throwing me off because now I got to hit a three instead of a two.
I did. I said that before the show. I was like, James just got the hang of directing Twitch.
I hear Al's voice too. now it's a fucking empty seat.
What?
Empty seat now. You know.
I think this is the camera you used to cut to me by mistake.
Yes.
With my empty thoughts. Yeah.
Now they're full. Now they're full of all Al.
They're full. We can bring out the wide angle.
Maximum
lens.
Al.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Weird Al album.
Shots fired.
Oh,
yeah. Here's the thing. Robbie's one of the guys that filled in last week. And so he does the drops and everything on Checkpoint XP. And so they're like, and he's showing us, like, you can load up your own drops. Feel free to use it. And he kind of gave us a run through, which, of course, I forgot how to use. And I don't expect I will remember. But I come in here today to get ready to do the podcast. And Chuck flat out tells me, he's like, I haven't loaded anything yet, but that computer's up over there. I'm like, that's his subtle way of saying, why don't you do another friggin' job?
Do it. Do something.
It's like, okay, I guess I sit over here now and try to remember which buttons to push. And
right.
You lose.
That might happen.
Yeah. Dude, I hope you play like the worst drops at the most inappropriate time.
Well, here's what's...
That's how you get fired.
Here's what's going to happen.
You will no longer be on drop duty.
We're in trouble.
Robbie's coming in to show you how it works.
You just gotta click it.
I do. Yeah, that's
all
right.
Click the drop.
There we go.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Yeah. That's gonna be the whole show. Just crickets underneath us the whole time.
Well, I mean, when you got this guy over here on mic one, what do you expect?
Nice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well done.
All right. Now you're doing fine though. Don't let him get to you. You got this.
Thank you, Robbie. Thanks for the encouragement.
Thanks, Robbie.
I do want to let you guys know that we are joined this week by our special guest, Mark Cooper, who is going to be performing in a couple of weeks at YumaCon, which I am a huge fan of YumaCon. I love going to YumaCon. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys
doing? How's your Wednesday afternoon? As you can see, we're kind of fired up.
Definitely. Achievements all there, man. It's ready to go.
But we thank you for joining us, and we'll have an exclusive interview on the podcast this week on WRAF.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. Look forward to that. Of course, follow us on social media at Nerd Radio 101, and let's dive right in, guys, because there is a bunch of stuff to get to.
We're going to dive right in. You got a drop for that, Al?
I do not.
Dive right in.
You got something? Here's just like a random drop. I don't even know what it is.
It's all bad.
That's a very cryptic prediction of how this episode is going to go.
That was
total luck of the draw. I wasn't even looking at the screen. I just randomly clicked. I might just do that periodically throughout the show.
Just randomly click drops.
Oh, the crickets again.
They are labeled. You dumb bastard.
We're going to come in next week, and this computer is going to be password protected.
Yeah.
Not even by Robbie, but by
just in
Jen.
General.
Over here in the corporate office.
Yeah, she's like, I'm sick of hearing all this stuff.
Our podcast captain, Steve Black, is going to come in and lock me out of this thing.
That's right. All right, so...
going to lock you in the podcast brig or something like that.
I love it.
The virtual jail.
Yeah, it's like Facebook jail. They just lock you in the drops jail.
Settle down, old man.
You don't get to use them anymore. All right, so over the weekend, released in selected theaters and on Netflix, was the Breaking Bad movie that Breaking Bad fans have been looking forward to, El Camino. Al, have you seen it?
I did.
What about you, James?
Damn it, no, I was going to watch it, but I...
Okay, well, we'll
I got high instead.
We'll do our best not to spoil anything. Mark, are you a Breaking Bad fan?
I'm just want to say I just got to make sure I can watch it. I got to catch up on the stuff.
But sure.
Yeah.
Well, that might actually benefit you because I definitely it is a very quick spoiler for your view. Felt like I could have benefited from having just gotten off watching the show because there's probably a lot of things I didn't quite catch having not watched the show for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But at the same time, very good. It picks up right where the show ended. And follows Jesse Pinkman, and it was
Frank Nunez come out of there surprisingly?
I don't know.
because the dad is there,
right?
I did think it was good though.
Yeah, me too.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
There's some good. It has the flavor of Breaking Bad. There's some good suspense stuff. Jesse Pinkman is still like kind of a terrible criminal.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah, he's got some good Walter White-ish ideas that happened during the thing. And you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. But he's also makes some really huge mistakes.
James
like,
freaked me out just now. I was trying to figure out which button I pushed.
Yeah,
I
realized, which drop was that?
That was James.
He's like, wait, I had a content appropriate and well-timed drop from Jesse Pinkman. No, Al, that was me.
And I did it without even thinking about it.
Right.
Well,
anyone else want to do their jobs today?
There it is.
But yeah, no, I thought it did a good job picking up, just like you said, it felt like Breaking Bad, just like a Better Call Saul has that same feel,
right,
to it. Definitely worth watching, but and it did make me want to go back and rewatch the whole series again.
It's funny, once the credits were rolling, I left them on, and I was talking to Amy about, you know, the stuff that had happened in El Camino, and it started the first episode of Breaking Bad, and I think I watched like 20 minutes of it before I turned it off.
Oh, I was yeah.
Like, oh, it's like, if you like this, then you'll probably want to watch Breaking Bad again. So, but it was very cool and also kind of weird because the day before, or maybe it was the day, because I think it came out on Friday, but Friday we found out that the actor, Robert Forster, passed away at 78, and he is a part of, you know, the El Camino movie. Was a part of Breaking Bad.
Oh, he's part of the El Camino movie. Because I was saying, what part was
he was
in
Breaking Bad?
I remember him more from Jackie Brown.
Yeah, that's what I typically remember him mostly from, too. He was the guy who, the van that pulls up and takes people away to, you know, takes them out
of
Albuquerque.
Sort of like the underworld's version of Witness Protection Program.
Right. That's Robert Forster.
They kind of disappear, you pay money, and they
get a
new
idea. Okay, it's
been
a while since I've seen it. So,
right.
Okay. So he's obviously a part of it. I just don't recall.
Yeah, I didn't recall him. When the news broke, I didn't recall who he was. I had recognized him from other movies. I did not recall him being a part of Breaking Bad. But as his scene in El Camino unfolds, like, oh, right, I remember that now from the show.
Yeah, so, like, it's very, I don't know, very strange timing.
Yeah.
To, you know, find out an actor
passed
away.
I think it might have been the day after, like you said, the day before, day after that El Camino was published.
But it's very cool. Breaking Bad fans, it's definitely worth checking out. It's not disappointing in the least, and had a good time watching it. Also, over the weekend, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Saturday Night Live did a spoof of the Joker movie.
No, I've not seen that yet.
They had, let me find this here.
I saw a teaser image. It's the dude from
David
Stranger
Harbour.
Things, right?
Yeah, they did David Harbour from Stranger Things, who plays Hopper, as Oscar the Grouch. So it took it took the trailer for Joker and reshot it and recast like he is Oscar and he loves trash.
Oh my God.
it's really fun. It's one of the better Saturday Night Live like spoof bits I've seen in a long time. If you guys haven't checked it out, I'll try and put it on our Facebook page so you can check out a video of it because it was really funny. It was good stuff.
That's usually SNL's actually usually on my watch list, so I will get to it eventually.
Yeah, it goes through, you know, different seasons of it are really great, and then it'll go through years where people are like, I don't know.
I'm still in the years of, I don't know.
Right.
Ever since Sandler, all the classic guys are gone, I don't really watch it.
Yeah, well, that was like almost two decades ago at
this
point.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm saying I'm still in the, I don't know.
I thought they actually had a pretty strong cast for a little while there. Some of them have left, though. I mean, like, you know, Kristen Wiig, when she was still around, she was really strong.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and she was around when, you know, and Kate McKinnon came in. And Kate McKinnon, I still think, is very funny.
I was unaware of Kate McKinnon until they did the Ghostbusters movie. And based on that movie, I was like, geez, I need to watch more Saturday Night Live. I love her.
And I actually really like the Weekend Update guys right now, Michael Che and Colin Jost. I think they're good. I mean, I watched not this most recent one with David Harbour, but the week before, I thought it was a great show.
Those guys were my least favorite part of WrestleMania.
I was going to say, there's
least favorite part of WrestleMania.
If there's something they are not good at, it is wrestling.
Correct.
Because they were at WrestleMania last year, and it was not great.
So I hope the weekend update jokes are hilarious, because the wrestling is not good.
I'm sorry. I thought it was garbage.
Right.
I agree, Bob's Burgers.
Yeah. Speaking of wrestling, James, where are you sitting on wrestling right now? Because it's the last couple of weeks. We did the big thing a couple of weeks ago talking about how it was, you know, the biggest week in wrestling. And now we're 2 weeks into the new era.
I'm still excited for wrestling. I will say WWE, I feel, has really dropped the ball. They're kind of letting me down. I don't know what they could be thinking future-wise how they – I feel like they totally botched the ending of Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't get to talk about
that. You can't even have Seth Rollins and The Fiend, like, have a wrestling match. Like, they didn't even wrestle. It was literally just a red light and then a bunch of stupid crap. And then they kick off Raw with a cheesy-ass soap opera, you know, I'm banging Lana, you know.
Bobby Lashley.
Like, it's lame. So I feel like they're kind of handing the keys over to AEW to kind of take away. AEW's had some awesome matches.
Yeah.
Young Bucks versus Private Party. Oh my God, that match blew me away. I was like, Private Party, I want to be invited.
Yeah.
You know, I think SmackDown kind of took a bit of a dive the second week. The first week with The Rock coming in and then just handing King Corbin his ass.
Right.
With Becky Lynch. Amazing. That whole show I thought was a great wrestling show. And now it's starting to, like, go down on the decline. So I don't know, man. I'm excited to see what we have coming up. But WWE's got to step up their game a little bit more.
You a big wrestling fan, Mark?
Yeah, man.
I know you've got a song on one of your albums about Ric Flair.
Sure do. Yeah, bars like Ric Flair to make you go woo, you know?
Woo!
Yeah.
Nah, but, you know, I'm a fan of the older stuff, obviously.
Sure.
You know, the Attitude Era and things like that.
Yeah.
But, it's just interesting. It's like whenever they get to this high point, then it's like Paul Heyman's back. Oh, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to Suplex City and
Yeah, that's absolutely disappointing to watch Kofi just like eat an F5 and that's it.
It was a new day.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly was, for better or worse.
Right.
Yeah, well, you didn't even talk, because I remember you told me off air about how disappointing Hell in a Cell was, but we didn't get to it at all last week.
Yeah,
because we talked so much about Joker.
Yeah, because I was fired up last week about wrestling. I was like, this is the second week in a row that I will check Twitter to see what happened on Raw and be like, I got better things to do with my 3 hours. I don't even have the heart to watch what's going on there. But yeah, Hell in a Cell, I told you briefly about it. For our listeners that aren't super into wrestling, Hell in a Cell is the match where it's like a steel cage, but they put the cage around the whole ring and the outside and everything, and they put the door on it, and you're not supposed to be able to get out, and everything goes, and it's falls, you know, first pinfall or submission or something.
There's
like
no
that.
No disqualifications. But
well, typically there are no disqualifications.
Somehow there was a disqualification.
Right. Yeah, so, you had told me that, and I don't watch wrestling, of course, like Mark said, Attitude Era, that was my wheelhouse.
Right, so that's the way I related it to you when I saw you in the morning. It's like everyone remembers Mick Foley in The Undertaker in Hell in a Cell. They get out of the cage, they get up on top of the cage, Undertaker throws him off the cage into the thing. My God, he's killed him!
Yeah.
So this going into this, you had the champion Seth Rollins against this new character, Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, which is this like supernatural, almost Undertaker-like character that they've got going on. And the crowd is super behind The Fiend. Like, we think this is the most entertaining, fun thing we've seen in a while. So they go into the match, and they do wrestle, like, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 minutes. And Seth Rollins piles, like, a chair and a ladder and a toolbox and a whole bunch of stuff on top of The Fiend's head, and then gets the Triple H sledgehammer and just, boom, hits the pile of stuff on top of his head. And the ref calls the match. The ref decides, nope, match is over. Disqualification. And, like, it's a freaking Hell in a Cell match.
Right. Like, your point is to kill. You kill the person, your opponent.
Right.
And the crowd instantly goes, boo.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, the
AEW. AEW.
The crowd was
AEW.
Did they start chanting?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
The crowd was not having it.
That is not what you want to hear.
I mean, even in the middle of the match, the crowd was booing. Like, there was no wrestling.
Whenever Seth Rollins would mount an offense, and he's kind of supposed to be the good guy. Like, The Fiend is this weird supernatural. He wears this mask that looks like the Joker face, and he's this weird supernatural guy that, like, oh my God, it's Kane or The Undertaker. You survive The Fiend. You don't beat The Fiend kind of thing.
Sure, yeah.
But every time Seth Rollins would mount offense, people would boo because we're so entertained by what he's been doing that we want more of it.
Yeah.
And it was It was garbage. It was garbage. And then the next night on Monday Night Raw, they decided instead of trying to address it and maybe fix it, Seth Rollins and The Fiend, nowhere to be seen. 3-hour show, no Seth Rollins, no The Fiend. Hmm. Like, so we're just going to act like it didn't happen? The F is this? So yeah, wrestling is, it's up in some places and down in other places where it used to be.
It's all bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Monday Night Raw used to be like appointment viewing when it comes to wrestling. Now it's literally, what happened Monday? Huh, nothing.
Interesting.
And so Fox gave him a bunch of money to move SmackDown to Friday nights. Saudi Arabia gives him a bunch of money to show up twice a year and do stuff. And apparently that's what matters now if you're the WWE, is who's giving you the most money. So, also, speaking of the WWE, Nate from Checkpoint XP has a really good article about the next game that's coming out, 2K20.
Yeah.
About all the glitches that are in it.
Oh, like good glitches or bad glitches?
No.
Bad glitches.
Yeah, he did a write-up about how it looks absolutely awful, especially for a game coming out in 2019. Like, how is this?
Well, actually, I'll take it if it's bad, because I'm going to have the guys from Halal Beefcake coming in, and they're going to do a review of the game with me for Casual Gamer.
There you go.
So they'll give us some fodder to play with.
To rip on it.
Yeah.
And stuff. It's funny.
I'm still going to pre-order so I can get the Fiend as a character unlock, though. So.
Right.
I think you've summoned him.
Speak of the devil, Nate Bender on his way into the studio here. Let me turn your mic on there, Nate.
Yeah, this is what happens as they're monitoring us to make sure we're not tearing the studio apart.
No, I saw Nate in the chat, so he's been watching.
Well, it's like my butthole's itching. No. They must be talking about me.
Well, first of all, where can they check out this write-up you did?
CheckpointXP.com.
Cool.
Some of the graphics for 2K20 are just abysmal. And it's kind of funny because, like, this last week, because I've gotten back into, like, AEW and wrestling in general, I've been playing a lot of 2K19.
Okay.
And kind of flirting with the idea of, like, maybe I'll buy 2K20. But when you start seeing some of the wrestlers and the faces that they... Oh, my God. It looks like PS2... era.
You had a great shot of like Asuka, but her hair is over here.
Yeah, right. Like it's just inexcusable.
It's bad.
Like for a game coming out in 2019, you know, with 2K20 on the label, like that is, it's like they took 2K16 and was like, let's put a stupid pirate mode in it. And, like, not fix anything. It actively went backwards. Like there's a great side-by-side comparison on one of the wrestlers' intros from 2K19, where it looks really good, and then 20, it's just, I don't know what happened.
It's the kind of thing, now I've been playing these SmackDown games, which are now the 2K games, for probably the last, you know, decade and a half or something like that.
Yeah.
So for me, I look at it and I'm like, man, I'd just as soon go back on my Xbox 360 and play like 2K14 or something, because they change so much every time they do one of these.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like every 3 to 4 years, the controls are perfect. And then next year, the controls are completely different.
Yeah, right? I mean, I struggled with 2K19, just the reversal system, because I'm not good at fighting games.
Sure.
But I mean, I put that on me, right? Like, but actually, when I, because like, I got frustrated, and I was like, I typed into Google, why do I suck at WWE 2K19? And it was actually a whole bunch of threads going like, the reversal system is trash. It's like so different from last year. It made me feel better about myself, I guess, but in a game like that, you don't need to keep changing it up either.
Right.
Like, actually, that's a game where
you want to add stuff, obviously, to make people come back the next year or something like that, but you don't have to actively completely rework how things work.
I will say, though, that like their library of moves in that game, just like thousands upon thousands of wrestling moves that you've probably forgotten even existed.
Right.
The game is overwhelming in the amount of like customization options that it gives you.
As I was reading your article, I thought to myself, this is why I always stay 1 to 2 years behind.
Yeah.
Because much like sports games, the minute 2K20 comes out, 2K18 is like a $10 game.
Yeah.
2K19, $20 or $30.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what? For $20, I'll deal with this game feels unfinished.
That's a really, really good point. To that end, I'm sure that WWE 2K19 is real cheap right now,
I'm
and
sure.
It's a better game.
Yeah.
So
All right, well, let's take a break. Thanks for popping in, Nate.
I enjoy some nerd rage that isn't me and James for a change.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with some more nerd radio. Stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The name's Nukem, Duke Nukem. You know I've got balls of steel. I wouldn't be saying that unless I was here on Nerd Radio, because they've got balls of steel, too. Hail to the Nerd Radio, baby.
And we're back with some more Nerd Radio, all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101, of course, part of the B-Pod Studios Network, live from the Checkpoint XP Studios. I didn't want to neglect to say that, because it's you know, it might not be new to us anymore. We've been doing it for over a month, but it's still awesome.
It's cool,
recorded
yeah.
live, the Checkpoint XP
recorded
Studios.
Live, right.
It's appearing live on Twitch. .tv/checkpointxp.
That's right. Wednesday afternoons around 11:30. James and Al back joining me, and this week we're joined by our guest Mark Cooper.
Hey, how you doing?
Absolutely fantastic to have you on here. We'll have a special interview with you on the podcast this week. Goes up usually Friday mornings, but you're going to be performing at YumaCon.
Yep,
this particular year. I love YumaCon so much. It is the highlight. Like, the two big highlights for me, as far as con goes, are Motor City Comic Con and YumaCon. And, you know, one's in the fall, one's in the spring, something like that. But YumaCon is so fun.
No, at YumaCon, are you going to be performing in a costume?
Yeah, technically, I have my power glove and I have my actual shirt, and I actually turn into Player One. So
that's awesome.
You know, so technically, I am in a costume.
Perfect.
That's nice.
Yeah. No, that's probably one of my favorite things about YumaCon is for the weekend. You just see just all your favorite anime characters and you know, video game characters and Marvel characters and DC people just walking up down the riverfront.
Yep.
Just to go in between Cobo Hall and what's the other building?
Renaissance.
The Ren Center. Yeah. They got a giant video game room. They're playing anime. They got voice actors. It's a great time. So we'll talk more about that coming up. But right now, Let's dive into some video game news.
Yeah.
Because, James, I'm sure you've got some stuff to talk about as far as this goes. Whereas, Al, these are mostly games I don't think that you're into.
So, Al, you have nothing to contribute, as usual.
Nothing but drugs.
In fact, I'll cut to your old chair. There's Al's contribution.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
He's buffing, sir. He loves me.
Settle
down, old man.
The big news in the world of video games this past week, and
so drop heavy on this segment.
If you guys are not checking out Checkpoint XP's daily show, I definitely suggest you do, because they've got they're doing the deep dive on this stuff for sure. Whereas I'm giving you guys the cliff notes. But starting about a week and a half ago, Blizzard, who owns Overwatch and World of Warcraft, they were having a tournament for one of their games, and somebody on the stream said something or did something in support of the Hong Kong.
Yeah,
the
so people this in, going Hong on Kong. In Hong Kong.
Right, and Blizzard took away their prize money and a whole thing, which led to a huge uproar online about what was going on, and has led to a couple of weird things happening as far as Blizzard is concerned. One of them being that Overwatch is on the Switch as of this week, and they were supposed to do a big event in New York with some of the voice actors and everything like that. They canceled it 24 hours before it was going to happen.
The entire event was
The entire canceled. Event was just canceled.
Like a Blizzard Con or whatever?
It wasn't BlizzCon.
Okay.
But it was one of those, like, hey, we're going to do like the what used to be like the Toys R Us in New York or something like that. We're going to do this big thing and have some of the voice actors in, and you can get your copy of Overwatch for the Switch, and everything's going to be a big deal. And then, like, they posted it, I think it was on Twitter, 24 hours before. It's like, yeah, that's not happening. And I think part of it is because they didn't want, like, you know, protesters. Like, even though they've reimbursed that after a week, they decided, you know what, we'll reimburse that person their money, even though they broke our code of conduct for our Twitch stream. But we want, going forward, for everybody to know that, like, don't get political on our particular stream or whatever like that.
I was saying, forgive my ignorance, but I don't know what the hell's going on in Hong Kong. I know it's bad stuff.
Right.
But I also don't know, like, if somebody's expressing their opinion on bad stuff is happening in the world, why you would yank prize money away.
I think. Well, people are thinking it's because Blizzard has a vested interest in money from Hong Kong, in the same way that like Disney has a. I read a little bit about this, and when Doctor Strange came out, and they cast Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One, mm-hmm. part of the reason for that is because they didn't want to put the Ancient One as his original version because it would. I'm explaining it really poorly, but it would give credence to a particular thing that the Hong Kong government does not abide by, and therefore they wouldn't get to play their movie in Hong Kong, and they would lose out on some money.
So they did it to make sure the movie could be played in the country,
right,
and not get banned or whatever.
Yeah, pretty much.
The show's like a wiener or a nipple or something. They gotta ban it.
Well, to that degree, yeah.
Gotcha.
So things are real weird for Blizzard right now. But if you are an Overwatch player, as of yesterday, the Halloween event is going on, which is one of my favorite events because I'm terrible at the player versus player Overwatch stuff. But the Halloween event has a co-op mode, and I love playing that.
Yeah, it's definitely fun when you do co-op. So
yeah, like I get angry and I'm terrible at playing, you know, team, even team based, like 6-on-6. I'm the worst guy on your team. I always my Xbox Live motto used to be, if I'm the best guy on your team, that's why we lost. So, but you can play co-op, and I super dig that. The other news I wanted to talk about is League of Legends. Riot Games announced just last night that League of Legends is coming to consoles and to the cell phone, and that they're working on a card game, a first-person shooter, and a cartoon, a web cartoon.
Okay, sounds like they got their hands full. I think they've been up more than they can chew, because that sounds just like me. I'm going to edit these videos. I'm going to mow the lawn. I'm going to do the dishes.
Right.
I'm going to watch Netflix, and then all I just do is end up smoking weed, and none of it happens.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, you are good.
I know. I am the best.
Yeah, but Riot Games has decided, because they've just had been focusing on this one game for long enough, yeah. And they've been making some money with the tournaments and whatnot like that, and they're like, okay, now we're going to try and get into everything. So we'll see how that works out.
You a League of Legends player?
I've played it before. I'm not a big fan. However, I did read in an article that when they move it to consoles and to the phone and everything like that, they are focusing more on the games only taking 15 to 20 minutes as opposed to 45 to 60 minutes.
Oh my God, one game takes 45 minutes?
That's why I don't like it. Because you can play for like 60 minutes and still lose.
Was it Jefferson's roommate that was super into that League of Legends?
Yes.
Or a buddy of his or something?
Yeah, we had him on the show a couple of times. Yeah. But he was super into League of Legends, and I know that...
This is the only reason I even know the name, is it has come up on the show back when it was you, me, and Jefferson.
Right. But yeah, Blizzard actually made a version of that game called Heroes of the Storm, which has Overwatch characters and World of Warcraft characters and stuff like that. And I love that game because, A, you can play against bots, so once again, it's co-op, and B, games take like 15 minutes tops. Like, don't waste 45 minutes of my time while I'm mad and then I get nothing.
That was one of the things I always hated about Left 4 Dead. So I enjoyed Left 4 Dead.
Right.
But if in order to make it through the whole game and survive by the helicopter or the boat or whatever,
right,
you're looking at a 45 to 60 minute investment of your time.
Right. Especially when you got four players and you got three players that know absolutely nothing. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, what's this girl crying over here, dude? Don't touch her.
Right.
Right. Right.
But that's what everybody's playing. They're playing that World War Z. Have you got a chance to go into that yet?
No, I haven't played World War Z.
Yeah, because I've been playing that, and it's like Left 4 Dead on steroids, man.
Oh, okay.
It's like seeing the movie itself and then seeing all the toppling endless zombies and things like that. But they put it together, and it's the first time I ever played a game where the computer actually was helpful.
Really?
The computer actually helped in the game. So yep. Now I don't feel like I'm by myself with three stooges trying to figure out I'm going to kill 300 zombies.
You get to play as super hunk Brad Pitt in this game.
You probably do.
You probably do good.
Is that on consoles or is that on the PC?
No, it's on consoles and the PC, actually.
Nice.
They included it with the Xbox Game Pass, which is OP'd right now. You know, you pay $1 and get Gears 5 and World War Z and
dude,
and
I think there's
ones.
A glitch with the Microsoft Xbox Gaming Pass because I paid the $2. And according to them, I am paid up until March 2020.
Yeah?
That's when my Xbox Live renews.
Right.
So I'm like, I just paid the $2. And I was going to cancel real quick.
I think they did it for the Ultimate Pass. I think they combined it with the gold is what it is.
Okay. Well, something happened. All I know is I'm like, I got to get rid of this before I get dinged for another $15. And
right.
I canceled it. And like, okay.
Yep. That's how I was able to get Gears 5. You know what I mean? I wanted to invest the 60, but I was like, let's see how this looks.
Yeah,
I'm with you. With my pass with the Gears of War games, I'm like, I'm not paying more than a couple bucks for this.
Right.
The other the big news, if there's when it comes to the online games, if there's, and I think you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, James, because you love Rome Royale, you play a lot of it. Yeah. But I think if there's a top three, it's probably Blizzard with Overwatch and World of Warcraft, then Riot with League of Legends, and right after that, or maybe neck and neck, would be Fortnite.
Yeah, Fortnite's definitely up there. That's right. The one I'm the most familiar with out of all those.
And over the weekend, they blew up Fortnite.
Yeah, you got to stare at a big blue butthole on your screen if you're into Fortnite.
Right, for like 2 days.
Yeah.
While they updated
just
the servers.
Marketing thing, which I assumed is what it was going to be, just to create hype. People are freaking out. Oh my God, Fortnite's gone. What happened?
Right.
It's just like, shut up. Give it a couple days, and I guarantee they're going to have something. It'll be back, and you'll get to drive around on a giant rocket ship or whatever. Stupid thing.
Right. Well,
to put
part
in the
of
game.
why they blew up the map in Fortnite, because for one thing, there's only one map in Fortnite. You're playing on the same map every time you play a game. But the reason they blew it up is because they had a new map coming that you could play on.
Oh, wow. Finally. How many years did it take to get a new map?
Right. Right. And I'd be interested if they're going to add, like, can you play classic Fortnite on the old map, or you can play regular Fortnite on the new map?
But, how does that not get boring? I mean, I know there's people that just love that game so much. I'm obviously not super.
That was
anything,
another thing about League of Legends that I didn't like, is that it's one map. You're playing on like one map.
It's one map in that one as well. Huh?
If you're playing 3v3, it's one map. If you're playing 5v5, it's a different map. Otherwise, it's the same map over and over again.
But here's what's always different. You could drop into different spots. The way your battle circle ends up closing in, you end up in different spots within the whatever the Fortnite world is called.
Right.
I'll refer to it as realm.
As the storm comes
in. Yeah, as the storm's moving in, or the fog's moving in, or whatever mechanism they have to try to get you to flee this open area and just focus your attention on the battle circle, that always changes.
Right.
So you're forced to have to drop in at different spots. You're forced to know, like, where the best, like,
where the best drops for guns or whatnot.
Yeah,
are.
Like where there's gonna be more chests to try to open to try to get better loot. What areas on the map is kind of notorious for having better loot or more loot opportunities, and that kind of stuff. So that's why you can have the same map. I have fun playing Realm Royale. It's the same map. It's been the same map since, I don't know, the closed beta, whenever that came out, like over 2 years ago maybe, whenever that came out and I could play it on console, I still have a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, I have my favorite spots to drop. Guntown, because I'm the mayor of Guntown, unofficially. I'm waiting for Realm Royale to give me the official title.
Ooh.
But the mayor of Guntown,
he's
I drop in Guntown
the mayor.
All the time. You know, that's my favorite spot to drop. But sometimes the way the circle's set up for your battle or your party blimp or whatever you want to call the stupid plane that brings you in to drop into the
yeah,
into
it's
the
essentially
realm.
Just a bus with hot
with
air balloons.
Yeah, it's a hot air balloon bus. I think they call it the party bus. I don't know. It's a pirate ship that flies in Realm Royale, just for the record. It's also an airplane in PUBG. Whatever the whatever that is, the way that cuts across the map is always different. So there's different elements that make each match different and unique.
Hmm. It still feels like it wouldn't be enough for me anyway to keep my attention.
Oh, it's definitely it's definitely a genre of gaming that works for some people and not for others. The whole like just keep doing the same thing over and over, but doing it in it like every game is different.
Yeah,
because you're playing against different people.
And
if you're
like the type,
happen
like. I want to prove that I'm the best one on the map right now. Me versus 99 other mofos. Who wants some? Come get some. Like, that's me right there. Like, that's me in a video game.
See,
I
always
play.
Know I'm not the best one on the map, so I don't have that level of competition.
Oh, I guarantee you most of the time I'm not the best one on the map, but I'm going to tell you that I am. And then when you beat me, I'm going to blame some other outside mechanism the reason why I lost.
Zero responsibility
like
for
back
yourself.
In 2007, 2007, he had host. Yeah. He has host advantage. And,
right, exactly.
He's got a T6 connection. And,
yep. All those old Halo, online games.
Yeah.
Ballin'.
I got a couple more video game stories to get to before we wrap up Nerd Radio this week. But you know what? Let's take another small break because I feel like Al hasn't gotten to say anything. So.
I've just been studying the drop board in the meantime, yeah.
The whole time? All right. Well, that's cool. We'll be back. We'll have some more Nerd Radio here in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
You won't get rid of me that easily.
I can try.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Hope you cleared out your DVR. We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Oh, I've wasted my life.
All right, and we are back with some more Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRAF.com, over in, where are we, Al?
Rock929rocks.com in Boston.
See, that's definitely your permanent job right there. So remind me, I almost said Chicago. I don't know. We're in Boston.
We're in Boston, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And, of course, Wednesday afternoons on Checkpoint XP's Twitch channel, which, James, give it to me.
Twitch.tv/CheckpointXP.
Thank you guys very much for not making me remember more things. Yeah. I appreciate it very much. It's Chuck Bean, Al Beck, and James this week, joined by Mark Cooper, Mr. Player One, and having a great time. If you're watching us on the Twitch stream, we were just talking about some card game stuff and having a great time. Mark, you've been a nerd your whole life, right?
Pretty much, man.
You've been
until it was cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Until it became something that's like, okay, now I can tell people about it in public.
Yeah, exactly. Just like any of us.
For sure, man, for sure. So a couple of other things I wanted to talk about video game-wise that I saw. So we all know about microtransactions when it comes to modern gaming here. That's the whole, God. Like, you can throw money.
We just need money.
Yeah, exactly. You can throw money at the game if you want to. And if you do, you get these special things. There was a conference called the Game Connect Asia Pacific Conference. It was held days before PAX Australia. I'm getting this article off Kotaku.com. It was part of Melbourne International Games Week. And one of the things that came out of this conference is that somebody spent over $150,000 on microtransactions on a game.
Holy crap.
And the reason I bring it up is because it was on the Transformers cell phone game.
Oh, no! Oh, you loser!
That's what? Not me! I didn't do it!
That was Chuck. It was probably Chuck. He's asking for spare change earlier.
Apparently, he was rolling out the dough. Optimus
yes.
Prime.
So, yeah, somebody was real rich and really wanted that Optimus Prime. No, it wasn't me.
Bro, you got to back off now.
Look. But it's called Transformers Earth Wars, and you do get different Transformers, and you can attack each other's bases, and you can build your own Earth base or whatever like that. And some dude...
So it's like StarCraft, but with Transformers?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, but $150,000. Dude, you can't even separate me from like $10 or $15.
I was going to say.
I cannot imagine.
No.
You should have just bought the game and called it a day.
Yeah. For sure.
$150,000.
We were just like, I had a problem when I spent $12 on Candy Crush.
Yeah, right? That's what we were just talking about, talking
Where's
to Nate
the cricket sound effect
early in the show. Did you catch that?
Oh, I did.
There it is. Thank you.
I thought $12 on Candy Crush would have got at least a couple of chuckles. Just the crickets.
I'm going to have to start pointing at you for the drop. Like, and now.
Oh, please. Remember the last time we tried to do a news segment and I had no idea what my part was?
Nothing.
I introduced you out. Big news. Yes. News that's big. I got my lines. Come on, Al.
Well, I'm useless.
All right. So that's the one extreme of how
it's
much
like
money
Eeyore.
You could spend.
Woe's me, honestly.
Anyone else want to do their jobs today?
That's an appropriate drop right there.
Well.
All right, so that's the one extreme of spending money on video games. Here's the other extreme, free. Everybody loves free. The Internet Archive, as of a couple of weeks ago, released 2,500 MS-DOS games from the 90s on it. And if you're not familiar with this, and I was not, I had to look this up because I saw this
on
CNET.
MS-DOS or MS-DOS?
MS-DOS, DOS, whatever.
DOS. DOS is like two.
DOS.
Uno, DOS.
Emos, DOS.
It's the Hispanic DOS.
Right.
Free game giveaway. Ay, ay, ay. It's a Taco Tuesday.
All right. So the Internet Very Archive, impressive. Which is archive.org, is essentially a library, an internet library, and they keep a whole bunch of stuff. Like they've got some web pages up there that they have documented, some audio recordings like live concerts and stuff. But they have 200,000 software programs on there. And by software programs, we're talking video games. They've got an internet arcade. They've also got a console living room where they have backed up versions of games from the Atari 2600.
Essentially, this is Dave and Buster's for poor people?
Yeah!
Is that what this is?
The Sega Genesis, the arcade machine or something like that, and you can just play them in the browser window. You can just click on the thing and play them with your keyboard. I don't know if you can hook up a a controller and pull this off. But like, I was playing Donkey Kong on here. Nice. After I was checking it out, they've, like I said, they've got the Atari 2600, the Sega Game Gear.
You're probably going to play the same game on your Switch, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But how, like, how cool is that?
No, it's very cool. It's very cool. I just like poking fun at the fact that there's a bunch of free games.
It reminds me of the old website. It's called Vim.net, when we were like an earlier 2000s, where you could be able to download the emulator and then all the games affiliated with that.
That's definitely a thing with, like, going back to the Switch. It's definitely a thing whenever they put one of those old collections of games on my Switch. I have to think, like, okay, do I want to pay $40 for games that I have an emulator of? On an old system over here that the emulator is already perfect. It's the old game, but now I can play it on my Switch. I can take it anywhere, which is always the thing for me is, oh, my God, I can take my Switch anywhere. Yeah. But, yeah, if you have not checked this out, archive.org, if there's, go through there, look for an old game because it's probably there. Their interface leaves a little bit to be desired as far as trying to find something in there.
It's Internet Archives, right?
It's called the Internet Archive.
You can find old school porn too.
So if maybe
you're looking for some pixelated.
If anybody would know,
you could probably find those there as well.
Yeah.
It seemed like an appropriate time to find out what excitement hit sounded like.
Right. Absolutely.
Vintage porn.
Man, I hit something else and that drop completely derailed.
I'm gonna lose my job.
Excited. Come on, buddy.
I don't know. What else you guys got for this week, man?
I got nothing. I just playing with buttons.
He's nothing, sir. He loves me.
It's amazing how pointless and terrible your analogies are.
That's what I was staring me right in the face. Comic book news. So I've been ranting and raving about the current X-Men books, the House of X and Powers of X books. Those just finished up last week, and the first issue of X-Men number one, which is they're calling it the Dawn of X, the new X-Men line of books going forward, is coming out this week. And the reason I bring this up is, A, I absolutely love it.
Sorry, I have to derail you for a second. This is called The Dawn of X.
The Dawn of X.
This also sounds like a DMX album title or a greatest hits compilation.
It does.
You better be careful. He's in rehab getting ready.
I'm here, DMX.
Yeah, no.
Come and bark at me. Whenever you're ready.
Come and bark at me.
He makes frequent appearances on this show whenever somebody swears.
Yes.
So.
Nice.
But the reason I brought this up is because if you go to your comic store this week, and I'm going to show these to James because I'm pretty sure this is going to touch his nostalgia.
Ooh.
If you go to your comic store this week and pick up X-Men number one, ask them if they've got the cards. They are giving away packs of cards with purchases of X-Men number one have the covers of each of the new X-Men books on them. There's like six or seven cards in there. And if you flip it over, it's got the lineups of the team.
Oh,
cool. Who is on the team. So it kind of draws back to that 90s nostalgia of the old Marvel cards and the X-Men cards.
It's also got some weird cryptic alien
like
language.
The ones we used to get from Pizza Hut years ago.
The Pizza Hut
These
ones.
These are even better than the freebie Pizza Hut ones. I'll pass them over here. You can check
right.
them out.
Okay. Yeah, part of the new new X-Men going forward is that they've created their own language or alphabet.
Oh, okay.
Their mutant alphabet.
The Australian version of Wolverine.
They're no Marvel masterpieces, but they are very nice cards.
Yeah, they're kind of neat. Like I said, it's the covers to all the books, so it's kind of there to get you excited about which books do you want to check out.
It's cool. It's a good marketing way to try to get people interested
absolutely.
In the comics.
Absolutely. And, you know, it couldn't be – like if every week they were giving away cards – at the comic store. I don't know that it would be as special, but the fact that they're doing it for this particular thing, I'm like, that's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. So this is just yet another way for me to weasel in the fact that I love X-Men and the new X-Men comics are great, and you should go to your comic store and check them out. Also, speaking of X-Men, I think it was on Monday, the Disney Plus, this is the thing I was going to say before the drops derailed me. on Monday...
Stop shaming me!
Yeah, shut up. The Disney Plus went to Twitter to announce, like, everything that's going to be on Disney Plus, which we kind of knew about because a couple of weeks ago, somebody over in the Netherlands that was testing the thing out just made this huge list. But they, you know, listed like Gargoyles is going to be on Disney Plus, X-Men the Animated Series, Spider-Man Unlimited, all going to be on Disney
Plus. Like DuckTales, like all
DuckTales,
those Darkwing Duck,
Darkwing
all
Duck.
Those crazy cool fun.
Yeah.
It better be the original DuckTales. I think I said something about that where I was just like putting something on in the background. I came across some channel that said DuckTales. I put it on. Like, oh, this would be cool. I do the dishes.
Right.
It was a new version. I was very upset.
Was Launchpad still a part of the team?
That new version is.
Dude, I didn't stay on it long. Well, as soon as I saw the new style of animation, I was right off of it, so I have no idea.
You know who Scrooge McDuck is in the new one? David Tennant.
Really?
Yeah. They got Abed from Community to be one of the triplets. Huey.
Really?
It's Huey, Dewey, Louie. Yeah, they got a great voice cast for it.
Huh.
So, see, you should have tried it out.
No.
Maybe we hear the audio version of it. Like, I remember this episode.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this week's Nerd Radio as far as the...
Did you finish the story about the streaming stuff? I'm sorry.
No, yeah, it's just like they announce everything. Like if you want to go to Twitter and check Disney Plus's Twitter, if there's something that you're like, I wonder if that's going to be a Disney Plus, they got their answer.
I just hope they didn't edit any of the X-Men stuff because they chanted the same things over and over again. You know, like no more mutants. You know,
that's true. Yeah,
it was planned for like 6 or 7 episodes. I hope Disney was like, no more weird people.
Like, who are you talking about?
Got to make sure it's PC.
Right.
Yeah.
No more superpower dudes.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, phrasing.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our Twitch stream for this week. Thank you guys on Twitch for joining us. The podcast will. Jesus.
Okay.
The podcast will continue. We're going to do
Mom making an appearance.
We're going to do a little in-depth interview with Mr. Mark
Sick
Cooper.
Sick of us being in her basement.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us this week, Mark.
Oh yeah, no problem. Now you thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Now you can kind of see how the Riff Nerd Radio show works.
I hope the Nerd Radio at the Riff is everything you dreamed it would be.
Yeah, he was real excited at the beginning. How are you feeling now?
Even more excited.
He's so kind. All right, join us on our social media at Nerd Radio 101. Of course, if you're downloading the podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Google, make sure you leave us a rate and review. Let us know what you're thinking of the show, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Nerd Radio.
He's like a person and a horse.
This is just awesome. I'm so glad I didn't go to work for this.
It's worth it, right? All right, this is a podcast exclusive for Nerd Radio listeners, which we like to do every now and again for you guys to reward you for downloading the podcast and giving us a listen. It is Chuck Bean with you, Al Beck and James still with me, but I wanted to take a couple minutes here and talk to Mark Cooper, Player One, who joined us for this particular week's episode, because Mark, it's great to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You are let me know if I'm wrong in this, you're a Detroit-based nerdcore hip-hop rapper, correct?
That's right.
For our listeners that do not understand what any of those words mean.
Which was me
right
an hour ago.
Come on, now.
I will say, before you explain it all, you know, Chuck came by the office where James and I work and kind of poked his head in. He's like, yeah, we got this guy coming in. And he did the quick rundown of, you know, all that, the nerdcore stuff. And I was like, I understood one thing that you said. We're going to have somebody in studio.
Right.
I had no idea what any of it was. But so please, explain to the audience and me.
Al's still learning about what music is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, what is music?
Yeah, powdered wigs and all that cool stuff, right?
Right. Yeah. Beethoven. Yeah. What is what is nerdcore?
Well, nerdcore is actually a genre that's actually been out for a while, like back in the earlier 2000s, 2006 kind of era. Nerdcore is like, it's a particular genre where it really focuses on the pop culture-based things, like your anime, your cartoons, your video games, nostalgia purposes, 80s, things like that. And it's actually a genre where it's like, you know, combine that with hip-hop. So I'm a nerd, and I enjoy these things, and I like to make songs that kind of, you know, congeal what I love together.
Yeah.
And then that's where it comes with hip-hop. Basically, not the 5 senses that you hear in rap today. I'm doing the nerdy stuff. And that's really where the genre came up.
That's cool, though.
And the way you incorporate that stuff in is with lyrics and with samples, right?
Yep, I do it with lyrics, samples. I just try to create songs with it and, you know, also combine the things I've always wanted to do, you know, when it comes to nerdism. Like, you see me rock a power glove because I was, you know, a gamer back then, and I'm still am now, of course. And then just, you know, just exploring the things I like to do.
So do you do the lyric part of the song? Do you also
I do the lyrics and the beats, yep.
So you do the beats and the melodies as well?
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of a one-man show going on.
It makes it fun. You know what I mean? I do it with Soundproof, which is a couple people in my group, like Blizzard, Crimson Alchemist, of course, my cousin DJ Fluff, and with the label I'm
DJ
with.
DJ Fluff.
Yeah.
Different kind of fluff, James.
Yeah. Oh, different kind of
fluff.
Not the porno fluff?
No, not the porno fluff.
No, not at all. He puts a television on his head, so if you see the medallion.
James went right to Magic Mike.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, DJ Fluff?
Yeah.
He gets the best fluff jobs on set.
James over there, man, that name's taken? Crap.
DJ Fluff is approved by 4 out of 5 female porn stars.
All right.
No, the male porn stars.
Exactly.
DJ Fluff's about to change his name.
Yeah, right. He's going to be like, I can't do that now.
He's been with it forever. So
yeah. No, he probably loves that marshmallow stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So not to go full Eric Andre with you, but musically, how did you get your start?
Well, to be honest, I started in high school about 2004 when I was at Groves. So, of course, I had to go with the comparison of the Mike Posner era because we went to the same high school thing. So everybody's like, man, you're just trying to be like him and all that kind of stuff. So, of course, I started rap. I sucked at it. And this is around the G-Unit era where everybody's rapping about somebody's going to die the next morning. Of course, I follow in that era. But when I really got my start in the nerdcore portion, where I didn't really know about it, in 2009, I used to play Halo 3 competitive.
Okay.
And I did a song when, you know, Jeezy was out and made, you know, I put on for my city. I made one called IBR for my city. So I did that with the Halo videos because we were able to do it. So when I was able to do that, later on, somebody said, bro, go on Bungie.net real quick. It's like, what are you talking about? And I was on the front page.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. For something that I did. And I was like, well, maybe I want to do something like this. But I never knew there was a genre like that actually exists.
Sure.
And this is when Machinima came out, like, you know, Skullcruncher 13 and Team Headkick and all those individuals came. But they all had video people. So on YouTube, if you didn't have somebody who was an editor or whatever, you were kind of out of luck.
Right.
So it was really hard to do that. So I was like, eh, it's okay. I'll focus on the production and then focus on, you know, rapping the regular way.
Right.
Then in 2017, I met up with a guy named Mega Ram, which is a really big nerdcore rapper at Shotokan, because I never knew it exists. He was the first rapper I'd known that got signed to Capcom.
Wow.
So when he was, you know, Mega Ran is literally his alias, is Mega Man. So he comes out with the Bluster Cannon and all that, and it's really cool.
Nice.
So I hit him up and then, you know, talked to him in private, you know, skip a few. I said, if I ever decided to get back into this, would you support me? He said, yeah, sure, I would. So 2017, I got my debut at YumaCon and came out as Player One.
Nice. Yeah. Now the nerdcore, like all the other nerdcore artists, do you guys all, you know, is it a very supportive kind of scene?
Oh, yeah, it's very supportive. Normally when we go into different cons and conventions and things like that, you know, nerds like exclusivity. So if they like something and they're supportive, you know, they'll buy CDs, they'll buy posters and shirts and things like that. They love all of that.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. How do you, like, obviously, writing the lyrics, first of all, when you make a song, what comes first? Is it do you start with lyrics? Do you start with a beat or a melody? Does it change depending on what you're doing?
Well, start the best with Cheetos thing, maybe. Cheetos and Mountain Dew.
You know what? Cheetos and Mountain Dew might work. Especially maybe for a Call of Duty fan. It'll work just fine.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Get the XP points.
Yeah.
Personally, I usually start with the idea.
Okay.
Like if I wanted to make a song about Dragon Ball Z, for example.
Sure.
I would make something that's kind of similar in the beat wise, like, you know, something I could vibe with it.
Yeah.
And then last I put the lyrics to it because I like to rap about when it comes to nerddom. I don't want to do this thing that's called Wikipedia rap, which is new.
Okay.
Which is like, it'd be, Overwatch is popular. Okay. Wikipedia.com, Overwatch. You learn the whole vast of it, and then you rap about it. And
right.
You know, it won't resonate. It'll just be like somebody just making a commercial track over something that's popular.
That's interesting. So essentially, like, you will create the beat or the melody first, and then come up with a rap based on the beat or melody that you've put together.
And it works like that because I was a, you know, producer and then, you know, being the rap and being able to, you know, differentiate and put them both together.
Sure.
So when I put them both together, that's way how I can, you know, congeal a dope record.
Right.
How often do you find that you revisit a theme? Like, you've got a Dragon Ball Z song and then, you know, down the road you're like, you know, I kind of want to do another angle on Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
how often do you find yourself revisiting a similar theme?
Very several. To be honest, I'm really like a nostalgic dude. So I started off making beat tapes that were called Saturday morning cartoons. So I took all the Saturday morning cartoons I grew up with and know, and I made beat tapes out of them.
Okay.
So when I went back to those, I was like, you know what? It would be nice to do this kind of thing. Because I wasn't sure, you know, about nerdcore. Like, just saying, like, you put yourself in a particular box. It's like, well, let's say you get really big at it. Now everybody recognizes you as that. How would you be able to reinvent yourself or brand? And, of course, every artist goes through that particular tribulation.
Sure. But,
you know, you just want to. It just got to the point, it's like, look, I'm a nerd and I'm doing what I love to do.
Yeah.
So when I was able to do that, revisiting was, you know, second nature. sure. because that's who I am as a person.
And I don't know, not being a listener to a lot of nerdcore, but I went through some of your records, and it's kind of neat the way you've got like a story going on in most of them.
Yeah.
And this latest one, which I believe just came out, you did, it's kind of a concept record where each song is dedicated to one of the Power Rangers.
Yep.
Is about one of the, you know, you've got a Red Ranger song and a Black Ranger song and a Green Ranger song.
For the original six.
Yeah, yep. No White Ranger. No White Ranger song.
Yeah, just going with the green, but I'm definitely going to go into it later.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say maybe the White Ranger is like a B-side that didn't quite make the cut for this.
Yeah, he's legendary.
He's though. In the Redux.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So you obviously a Power Rangers fan. You've got a whole bunch of great songs about, I know one of my favorites I found was like Marvelous.
Yeah.
It was very cool about all the Marvel superheroes. There's a lot of name dropping in there. Like, oh, I know that person. Oh, that's right. Cool. I know that.
Exactly.
And then you've got a couple of Transformers songs that I really like. The Touch was one that I was like, yeah. I dig this. This is cool. But throughout two of your records, there's this story going on where you are in a game and speaking to this AI. And is that a thing that's specific to you that you decided, like, I'm going to make, you know, a concept out of this record?
Yes.
Yeah, excellent.
What I did with the album, I actually, you know, combined them a little bit. The way I wanted to do it is I basically took real life situations about nerdcore and things like that and just kind of made it like I was in a game. Because sure. technically a subgenre is like, a private part of something else. Not necessarily a side mission, but in that particular realm.
Right.
So what I did is that I made it like I was in the game, and I made my name Player One.
Yeah.
Because Player One is a default name. It's not anybody who made a name for themselves. So that's why I kind of went by Player One with that. And that's why as a rapper I go as Mark Cooper. Because when I'm in this particular realm, I'm Player One. You don't know who I am yet.
Sure.
And just like any kind of online game and things like that, that's why I put in the AllSpark saying when you I wanted to type my original name. They said, due to an identity theft, we can't use your personal government name. So it's like one of those kind of realms where you could just put it together and be like, hey, I'm Player One to these individuals, and everybody's been in my position before.
Sure.
When it comes to music and things like
that. Now, do you write songs separately as Player One and Mark Cooper?
Actually,
like different content, a different kind of sound, or is it all kind of the same?
To be honest, I got to the point where it's all kind of the same. I try to, you know, make sure I can gel it together, only because a lot of people know me as the producer, as Mark Cooper.
Okay.
For a lot of things I've particularly done. Like
so you're not like, Player One is strictly Star Wars-themed hip-hop beats. Strictly Star Wars-themed.
Right, exactly.
Mark Cooper, we'll venture down the Yu-Gi-Oh! Stuff.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Can't wait to do that.
I was going to say, James is dropping a hint. He wants to hear that Star Wars album.
Well, you heard Stormtrooper then.
Yeah, he does have a song called Stormtrooper. Which album is that on?
That should be on the AllSpark.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, so I basically made a pun out of it. I'm not missing anything like a Stormtrooper. Oh, okay. Stormtroopers at bad end.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're missing everything if you're a Stormtrooper.
Exactly. But what I like to do with nerddom, though, is that I've seen in nerdcore, but I wanted to do differently, is that I want to have the nerd references. We already see in the industry that people are fans of nerd culture, but they're not actual nerds. For example, Endgame. You know what I mean? You see chicks that would call you a loser, but all of a sudden Thanos snapping next to you. Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? So I like to take those particular nerd genre together and combine it with real-life situations. That way, you know, somebody who's a nerd can resonate, like, look, we've all had a day where we didn't have a job. We all had that. You know what I mean? You don't have to be, a drug peddler or, you know, a thug or something to be able to relate to somebody.
Gotcha.
So that's why I try to combine those together.
And the way you describe your music is kind of, are you familiar with the rapper G-Moski?
Yes, I am.
G-Moski, that reminds me a lot of his stuff because he has a lot of video game references and nerd references. But he also mixes it with his own brand of filth.
Yeah.
What he calls his type of rapping.
Exactly.
So that sounds like that.
So. Oh, yeah.
So you're going to be at UmaCon this year.
I sure am.
You're performing.
Sure am.
I imagine. Have you been to UmaCon before?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm in my eighth year now.
Oh, my goodness.
It's
my third
year performing.
You've been going longer than I have, so you know how much fun UmaCon can be.
Oh, like, it's very fun.
I love going because I just feel like these are my people. For the weekend, people just walking around. And it's just
no
like,
people are my people.
This is good. Yeah, you don't like any people. Right, for sure. But I barely
like you people.
people
I do, but barely.
But barely. Just a bit. Just a little. I also saw that you performed at MagFest.
Sure did. Well, MagWest, yeah.
Or, yeah, MagWest. Tell me about that.
Well, MagWest is a music and games festival, which is I'm hoping to get to MagFest because that's in January. But it was an overall great experience. It was the last stop of my tour. You know, I went on my first tour ever.
Very cool.
So I thought that was really dope. And MagWest was one of the things where it was the first time where you could be an entire group of people and they're all nerds and they're musicians at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like being able to combine both worlds with individuals that are like mine. And it was an overwhelming experience. You know what I mean? I got to perform with Ran, you know, Bill's like the, oh man, I think it's the mega bosses. I think that's the mini bosses. I think
the mini bosses, I think.
I don't want to mess up the name. But I got a chance to perform with really great people when it came to that. And it was just an overall great experience. I've never been out to San Jose. It was just awesome.
Nice. Excellent. Now, I come from a rock background, so I'm real curious. When people come to see you live, like, what's your setup like?
Well, my setup, usually it is just like a regular rap with a DJ, and then I have my hype man and then a second one just in case.
Okay.
So I do go into that particular route. But I'm getting ready to start doing more of a performance stuff, like things are in the background, things like that.
Sure.
And actually, YumaCon, I'm actually going to try that out for the first time this year.
Get some dancers and some weird costumes.
Or maybe
costumes.
Like a video screen of some sort.
Yeah. I've always had, you know, video actual aspects of it, but I want to make sure I can make it so enticing with the crowd stuff. Like, I've always been a fan of the 95 Jordan. Like, when Michael Jordan would come out, you know, on the court, and then you'll see the music come on, and then a whole bunch, like the Titantron intro show.
Yeah, like almost like a wrestling intro.
Exactly. So I've always been a, you know, huge fan of that, so I always wanted to, you know, incorporate that in the show. Because, you know, nerds like to be hype, and they like to be, you know, entertained. So by bringing that together and having everybody involved, other than just somebody rapping at you for 30 minutes, you know, will make it an overall experience. And that's why I call it the Player One experience.
Now, you said that you have a DJ and you got a hype man and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What equipment-wise, what's the DJ bringing to a live show?
Well, we just keep it basic. You know what I mean? Have an actual turntable and the laptop thing set up.
Cool.
You know, they have the sound engineer and all the amp and stuff. All that stuff set up by the con.
Yeah.
So that's why we usually, you know, perform at conventions most of the time. And then my hype man gets in cosplay as well. So he either dress up like a Goku or like a samurai or something. And my DJ wears a television on his head, so that makes it cool. Then Crimson Alchemist, which is a female MC that does nerdcore a little bit, she's been crazy at it as well.
Excellent.
So it's definitely awesome.
The burning question on my mind is, where does one acquire a hype man?
Easy. Well, Craigslist.
And he's always hype.
Craigslist. Seeking hype man for nerdcore.
He's hyping you
rap.
Up all on stage. Hype up your hype man. Who's your hype man? Where'd you get him?
Well,
I want a hype man. I'm really excited about this idea.
Well, I got lucky. My hype man is my best friend, Bliss.
Okay.
You know, we've been doing battle production, you know, beat battles and things like that. So that's the other part where they didn't know the nerd stuff. We were in the city of Detroit going to these things called producer battles. So we would battle other bigger producers and, you know, try our best to beat them.
Yeah.
But once we came, you know, the best of friends when it came to that, you know, it just linked together. He was a nerd. I was a nerd, too. He gets mad about me liking the American version of Power Rangers. He's like Japanese. You know what I mean? We fight in Tekken. It's
nerd rage.
Yeah.
Every time. Every single time.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you at YumaCon.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been great to talk to you. Where can people find you online?
Well, the best way you can find me is it's easy to type in. It's Mark Cooper. So ITS Mark Cooper. Anywhere on Gmail or anything. Not Gmail. Anywhere on Google and things like that. I also have a site, itsmarkcooper.com. Of course, I'm on all streaming platforms. I've released a new project, you know, Ranger Rats, which is all about the original six Power Rangers. I also do the Mark Cooper Monday, so every single Monday I come out with a brand new song.
Hmm. Wow.
Like this past Monday I did the Super Smash Brothers freestyle. I just got done with that.
How long have you been doing that every Monday?
This is the seventh week now.
Okay.
Yep, so I released all the Rangers one by one and then just released
another
project. You just got some really dope stuff coming.
Cool.
Excellent, man. Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us on Nerd Radio this week.
Thank you for having me, man. Well, I really appreciate it.
I look forward to seeing you at YumaCon in a couple weeks, man.
All right.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
Yep. So the next thing is try to be on the Nerd Radio for the Riff. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, well, that's where you are.
Oh.
That's what we're doing.
That's this.
Oh.
You're here.
Oh.
Yeah. You made it.
Yes.
All right. No,
it is as equally as unimpressive.
I was going to say, we are so disappointing. He's like, so where's the Nerd Radio show?
No.
This is the steaming pile of shit that is Nerd Radio. Get ready.
My dream is to be on the Nerd Radio for the Riff. Well, you've accomplished. Dream bigger.
Yeah, it's really, it's on you. It's on you for not wanting better
achievement unlocked.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
He's going to fit in great. I already can tell.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.